Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Runners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm in Clapham again. I've got off cooking. How are you, Mum?
Fine.
You seem very relaxed.
Because I did it all yesterday.
Nice.
And except for my sweet potato mash, and went to Pilates this morning.
Oh, great. Pray, love, Lenny.
Yeah, exactly. Had to be in control.
Namaste. Serene today.
Yeah, Hakuna Matata.
Oh, my God. That tan is still giving.
Yep. Worth the money.
We have Ross Kemp coming on today.
He's well hard.
Well, I don't know if he actually is.
That's the point. It probably isn't.
He seems
probably
very,
a real pussycat.
He seems very passionate. I mean, he's done everything from being Grant Mitchell to being Ross Kemp gangs to deep sea diving for the History Channel to now hosting a new, it's in a second series, Bridge of Lies, which is a quiz show, which got rave reviews.
Have you not been asked to be on it, darling?
I don't think I have. Anyway, so Ross Kemp is just having a lovely time. It's like he basically can do anything.
But I wonder about who insures him when he goes off to foreign places and tackles drug barons and gang leaders and Russians.
Well,
and
I want to know what he's eating in the prisons.
Oh, yeah.
And with the gangs. I'm very excited to have him on. What have you made then, Mum?
Made Moroccan meatballs with harissa.
Who did we do that for last time? I say we, I mean you.
Me. The lamb, father and son.
Oh, the lambs.
Yeah, and they like that.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, so I felt confident doing today. No stress.
After Tommy Banks, you felt... After,
that was a stress. But I've made... I think I have outdone myself, if it tastes nice. So I've made a Basque cheesecake.
It looks amazing.
It looks great, because you get this kind of burnt top. I tell you, I did have a moment yesterday, though. So I lined my cake tin, my spring... Is it what you say? Spring form. Right, lined it all... Spot on, did the sleeve a bit higher, like 3 inches higher, put it in the oven, and it leaked. And I could see it all coming out of the effing bottom.
So I
turned up the oven and thought it will seal it if it's a bit hot, and it worked. So only about 4 big, enormous blobs came out, and then it was
so much
fine.
For you, spring form.
But it just didn't... I mean, I didn't know it was a leaky...
So, yeah, I guess maybe you just wouldn't use it.
And it was quite a... It was quite like a batter rather than a cake mixture.
Did you have baking paper?
Yeah. But I hadn't... You could do the baking paper two ways, either cutting it out and then lining it.
And you did
or
that.
Or the actual real way you're supposed to do it is pleat it. Do one big piece and pleat it around the egg.
Yeah,
so it looks
got
more
time for that?
Well, that would probably have been
easier. Should I tell you how I do it?
How do you do it?
I scrunch it all up and then it's far more malleable. You take it out and then you can, like, bend it around.
Yeah, well, I could
have... It's so much... You know how you always want to push it down? You scrunch it all up. It's...
Well, I could have done it like that and then it wouldn't have leaked because it would have been one piece.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it like that. I did exactly how I thought it would come out. Anyway, it's all right.
Mum, I ate at a restaurant in Borough Market, which I knew about from when we had Alison Roman on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you remember she was going, she was eating here, and then she was going for a second dinner at a place in Barra, which was a new Sri Lankan restaurant.
And?
Rambutan.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I've never had Sri Lankan food.
The most glorious colours, tastes. They have really spicy there. And I was a bit of a pussy and I was like, I can't do like spicier than these delicious dosa balls. But like, it was such...
Does this make you want to go to Sri Lanka?
Yes, it does.
Should we go?
Yes.
All right.
But I just shout out to Rambutan because it's in Barra. It's very near my other favourite place, Elliot's. It's next door to Monmouth Coffee. And it's just such a great place to go and eat. And they do a really reasonable tasting menu, I think for like £38 per person, where you get all their faves on there. And these really gorgeous mum. It was almost like a Cosmo, but it was with tequila. And it was the prettiest pink. I felt like you would have really enjoyed that too, the cocktail. But yeah, Ross Kemp coming up on Table Mum. Ross Kemp is opening a bottle of red wine.
Badly.
Well, you were insistent to do it, mate. So now, oh, look at you. All right. Pretty, pretty good. Woo!
And it's not corked.
Okay, fabulous.
And it's my favourite wine.
What's your favourite wine? What have we got?
You've got Pinot Noir, which is my favourite wine.
Really?
Absolutely. And I do find that if I drink something like Shiraz, Cabernet Sauvignon, I just don't feel as good as... I drink Pinot Noir.
Well, we better get it into the glass.
I taste this at a friend's house, and Jessie loves this label.
See, I don't like Pinot Noir, but my mum was like, I really like their Chardonnay, bread and butter Chardonnay. And mum said, you said this Pinot Noir was really good.
It's really lovely.
So what I like about it is you can see through it.
Yeah.
So I often find that the amount of hangover that I get...
So you get less of a hangover.
Reciprocal to the kind of thickness of
the wine. Cheers.
Lovely.
Lovely to meet you.
Like Ribena, actually.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
I drink it like Ribena.
It probably needs to be open a bit.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
What do you think?
Are you a wine connoisseur?
No.
You look like you gave that look.
I just like it.
Me too.
And I like Pinot Noir, and that is an excellent Pinot Noir.
Yeah, it's nice,
so well
isn't
done,
it?
How are you?
How am I? I am good, yeah.
Thriving. It feels like you do everything, Ross.
I've just come back from Casablanca, but I can't tell you why.
How fabulous.
I know, and it's something to do with my family history.
Okay.
Oh, you're doing
okay.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But
wow, and you went to Casablanca.
I came back and I was back literally the way that my family were. I can also say it's a real honour to be here. So
oh, you're so sweet.
Oh God, very talented people.
Talented.
Yes, I think so. Many
don't
ways.
I'm just wondering whether this is like this is your spiel when you go and see like the gangs. You're like, how do I like get to
just
like
put
you know
on the big schmooze,
disarm
yeah.
them? And you're like, how am I going to disarm Lenny and Jesse? I'm going to send big fam.
I always roll up into any gang situation, particularly in Colombia, with a bottle of champagne, and we crack open a bottle of Pinot Noir, sit down in there, beautiful kitchen.
You are he's joking, Mum. He's joking. Do you rock up with a big bit of Coke instead?
No, they generally have a rock of Coke on them, more than one. In fact, I went to Colombia twice last year, and they're smoking a thing in the prisons now, and outside of it, called Bazooko, which is a residue of crack cocaine mixed with brick dust.
Did you ever go?
No, certainly not. Not when you see what it does to people. So, you know, sometimes I sort of feel slightly... guilty about the fact that I literally do get paid to go and make documentaries about human suffering. So what's nice about doing a game show is that it's less about human suffering, more about having a laugh and a giggle. And as this is, I feel more relaxed doing something like this than I would do doing a serious, it's going to be a serious interview, but, you know, going on and having somebody try and pull holes in what I do. I came home from Africa, the car got stuck, got a late flight back out of Gatwick, much prefer Heathrow because it's closer to home.
Right.
And then the car got stuck on the drive
because
it tried to reverse back. So 2 hours later, after waking everybody else up, he leaves. And then 2 days into being at home, I'm having the double shower tray because we've got a double one because it never gets used because really one person needs a shower at a time. But it was a great idea when I bought the house.
Hold on, what? You've got a double shower tray so you can two people can have a shower at the same time?
Yeah, there's two shower heads like that. Like there,
well, that's quite, so
got, well, it is. It sounds.
Were you newlyweds at this time?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And it's never been used since. And it's never been used. That's just to its full potential. Let's put it that way. Not since kids came along, right? Anyway, but it's 2.5 meters long by 2 meters high. So it's from here to the window, right?
Excessive. Okay.
It manages to be pulled up and moved out of the way because the shower tray is leaking and it has to be replaced. And I leave for. I'm making a documentary. I can't say what that's about. It's organised crime groups. So I was in, I've already, before Christmas, I was in, back to Colombia and back to the same prison that I'd been in for a month before, in between doing the game show. And then
you
I was...
You were there for a month?
Yeah, sometimes I'm away for that. That's about the max that I like to be away for. Anyway, but I've been to Italy and Spain and all over that part of Europe. And that bit of glass is absolutely fine. I come home. The guy who's fixing the glass and putting the tiles back in, he comes over. Now, my kids have been running around it. The dog's been around it. Human beings have all been around it. But whatever happened in the 5 minutes, that it shattered into a million pieces. I have pictorial evidence. So that's like 2 days home. And then yesterday morning, I woke up to the nanny who arrives at 7 saying, Ross, there's a muntjac stuck in the railings. It's like,
a what?
Of course there is. Of course there is.
What's a muntjac?
A muntjac is a deer that gets to about
where
this
where do you live?
You live on the Bushy Park or something?
No, I live just outside of a place called Marlow. But I am surrounded by National Trust land, so there are a lot of muntjacs around. But it's got an open gate, and it's got the railings are that long and that long with an open gate. So muntjac, what were you doing? But it's gone through a drop-off, so it's like it's got its head, it's got its front legs through, it's got its tummy
terrified.
Through, but it's screaming. Oh. So I'm out there with the dog. I had to put the dog tail to the nanny one side of the railings and the fencing, and I literally had to pull the poor thing back through, and she was bald on. She's as bald as me on both sides by the time I got her back, but she's alive and she ran off. She's good, but that's how you start
how
a day.
How old do you think she is?
She's a baby. She was small.
She was baby.
Because they get quite big. They can get, well, not too big. They can get to about that big, the males.
No but wonder you're doing Bridge of Lies. It must just be quite nice to be in a studio
is.
Where people step on things and try and work out whether it's Spice Girls or Sugar Babe songs.
It's simpler than being at home sometimes.
You know what? That? It's about the balance, isn't it? Because it's nice.
Look at your
exactly.
Life.
I'm very lucky that I get a balance. And like you do, you get to kind of... go and hang out with drug lords and meet the most interesting, terrifying people, but then you also can go and do a very successful game show. I mean,
yeah, you saw that coming.
But that's brilliant.
I think the world's changed. I think television's... The world has changed. It's changed a lot, particularly since lockdown and COVID. But also the way that... When I was young, when I left drama school in 85, you know, there
where
were...
Where did you go?
I went to Webber Douglas, which doesn't really exist anymore. It became part of Central.
So my friend went to Webber Douglas, yeah.
My first job was with John Thor and Richard Wilson, who many people might remember as Victor Meldrew and Morse. But, you know, they were big television names in that day, and television was a big, really, really big deal. And it's sort of become less so with the advent of social media and podcasts and everything else. There's so much more choice out there than there ever was. But when I first started going out in the acting world, there were reps virtually in every city in every town in the UK. There were like 50, 60 odd repertory theatres. I thought, oh, that's going to be my life. I'm going to move around doing rep theatre and I might get a
on the
job
boards.
Tread the boards and get a little job in television. And how wrong could I be?
But you're not doing any acting at the moment.
Yeah, you just did the Channel 5. But you were up for an award. Well, I mean,
So I had a really bizarre year last year. So I started off with 10 weeks in Hungary, in Budapest, pretending it was Coventry. And believe it or not, no one spotted the difference, which I don't know what that says about Budapest or Coventry. And then I had like 2 weeks off, and then I went off and made a documentary. And then I came back, did some corporate work, and then I was finishing off a book that I'd written. It took me 2 years to kind of like get together, And then I went and did a documentary in Colombia in a prison called La Picota, which was really interesting. Unfortunately, it might not see the light of day, but it was fascinating.
Why not?
Just reasons that I can't go into. Oh, okay. And then I went off to Scotland for 3.5 weeks to do the game show, which I love doing. It coincided with me being away, so it puts a lot of pressure on my wife and everybody else at home. And I miss my kids dreadfully when I'm away.
How old are they?
Really young. So I've got 2 girls who are 6. I've got a boy who is 8. And I've got another boy who is 13 who lives with his mum. Yeah, and a golden retriever.
And a golden retriever called?
Bruno. His mum.
We don't talk about Bruno.
I love.
He's a boy. He's my soul buddy.
Do you love him?
No, careful what I say. But so sometimes when I'm stressed out, yeah. I do actually envisage him.
Oh, that's your go-to.
Your happy place.
Yeah.
Bruno's because he's totally unjudgmental. Do you know what I mean? My kids are so much more judgmental. Yeah, I mean, I love them more than my dog, obviously, but, my wife, of course. But he's always happy to see me. It doesn't matter what's happened at school. It doesn't matter what's happened at the office. It doesn't matter.
He wags his tail
He just wants to be there. You know, and even when he's been fed, and they're a dog that loves, that breed of dog that loves their food, he's just always over the moon to be. He's so happy, and we nearly lost him 2 years ago, so he's like every day that he's around is a little bit of a bonus.
I'm really enjoying getting to know you, Ross, because you're a softie. You're a bloody softie, aren't you?
Yeah, until you tread on my toes.
Yeah, you're not well hard as I thought you'd be.
Well, no, I don't think that was a character that I played in a soap, and it was, and again, going back to how television's changed, it was being watched by nearly 20 million people on a regular basis. If you're, and there's nothing else on TV, you're going to watch it, aren't you? Whether it's good or whether it's bad. And I think it was also pretty good in those days. I think it still is.
Whose idea was it that you become a documentary maker? Who thought Phil Mitchell should change? Grant should change and become this documentary maker.
Me.
That's it was your idea.
A totally fluke. I was asked to step in to present a doc. I left EastEnders after 10 years and went to ITV on a contract.
Yeah.
And it was mainly to be an actor, but I got bored really quickly because I'd been working virtually day in, day out on Enders. If you weren't there, you were learning lines.
Yeah.
To be there the next day. And so they asked me to step in. I know a number of people had turned it down. So when they rang me up and went, "You're the first person we thought of," I went, "This is before mobile phones and before the internet really had taken off." And I went, "Yeah, apart from the two people I know you've already asked." And I said, "Yes." And while I was making it, I met a guy in Compton who's a black lad.
Compton in America?
Yes. Yeah. It was about America's infatuation. Okay. You can still watch it. It's still out there on YouTube. It's called Lethal Attraction. And he'd been shot 23 times. And I went, "Bull, no one's been shot 23 times, right? And survives." And I met him. And apart from having a lot of guns on him, he had been shot 23 times. And I couldn't help thinking that this guy, had he been born 20 blocks in any direction from where he was, would have been a teacher, would have been a producer, would have been a valued member of society, could have been anything. And because of circumstance and because of location, he'd ended up becoming a gangster. And I stayed in contact with him, but again, it's often not a case of what you know, it's who you know. And I knew people at Sky at the time, and I put forward the idea. We went on to make 19 of those, over 35 extreme worlds, 15 films in Afghanistan. At the minute, I reckon I'm 124
that
docs.
Exposing yourself, we'll get to food in a minute, but
yeah.
Exposing yourself to that much suffering and negativity and crime, it must do things to you. I mean, you think... It must be exhausting. You're like, how do you
mitigate against it?
What do you do to kind of offset that misery?
I think you've got to have a curious... I think to be an actor, a good actor, you've got to have be curious about how the world works and what makes human beings tick. I know that you're a social worker, so you've seen your fair share of misery. There's also a lot of joy attached to it as well when things turn the right way.
We can make things change.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah. So I don't sit at the top of the tree by any stretch of the imagination, but if I can bring people to a world that they would not necessarily want to go to, if I can make them switch off the computer and come with me and get a better understanding of maybe the class system in India and how that eventually affects children involved in sex trafficking, or we can look at the tribal violence that exists in the highlands of Papua New Guinea and just show you how brutal it is and how much nothing's being done and how nothing has changed, because only 2 days ago 26 people were killed in exactly the same place that I was in making a film about it 7 years ago. But if I can do that in the way that I want to do it, which is a freedom that a lot of people don't get, to be able to make programs the way they want to make them. And that is becoming harder and harder as sort of,
but
like...
they've got confidence in you now.
But you personally...
I didn't answer the question, did
you
I?
You didn't.
So how do I deal with it? You get better at it the more you do it. It's like typing.
Yeah.
You get a better... You become a better judge of when it's not going in the right direction and how to redirect it and steer it. Do I lay awake at night worrying about it? I have a very disposable brain. There are certain issues in certain moments, particularly involving children, that never go away.
Of course.
I can deconstruct it into a very, very good man and a very, very bad man. So I can literally, and that sounds really an awful way of kind of separating, because people are a mixture of many, many things often, and circumstance is often the greatest influence. I don't think people are often born to be awful and incredibly cruel.
Set Putin. I think it's genetic.
Well, and some people are, but they're the rarity.
Some
the
people
extreme,
are bad.
Yeah, and I would say Mr. Khan, who on camera admitted to killing over 300 young girls when it came on top for him because the authorities were after him, he was a sex trafficker, and he started to cry because he felt sorry for him. That's the only time I've stopped an interview, because I literally was going to kill him. But I couldn't, because he had armed bodyguards around him, but I wanted to, and I couldn't face him any longer. And it was his self-pity.
He was crying for himself.
Self.
Yeah.
That sent me above the notch that I can normally can handle. And I've interviewed paedophiles, and I've interviewed some really kind of pretty extraordinary individuals over the years. But that was the one. But then I have Dr. Mukwege, who was doing nearly 1,000 fisted operations on women who were being butchered, their genitals destroyed with bayonets and sticks and things, and hacking people's hands off. And he sits at the complete opposite of Mr. Khan. And there are so many different things that are in between that. I have to use something as north, and I have to use something as south, or vice versa, in order for me to be able to put into order what's normal and what isn't normal.
What's been your scariest moment? Have you got one moment that you think, I'm really not going to survive this, or I've gone too far?
I'm not the best barometer for that. The best barometer for that is the person on the ground. They have a better understanding of what's going on and what's going to happen next.
But have you ever felt frightened?
When bullets are whistling past your head, you generally wet yourself slightly. Yeah, I mean, I've had lots of... I remember once my first ambush in a place just outside of Sangin in Afghanistan. I'm face down and it was to my left and to my right, and I think the next one's going to pair me down the middle because he's clearly aiming directly at my head, which is my blue helmet, which is face down, but I've got a Bergen on my back that sticks up that high, and that's when the sort of like the idea and the romantic idea of war suddenly just drained from me. But it didn't stop me going back. I carried on going back for another six years, but there is also an attractability about that. But in terms of, you know, seriously, when somebody knows what they're talking about says, we may not see the sun go down, you fucking go, well, this is my life. That's the end of it. And what was it for? And at that point in my life, I was, you know, I didn't have kids. I didn't, I was, I lived not far from here.
Really?
Where did you live?
Just off, I lived off Clapham Common North. And then I lived in Beachmore Road, just off Battersea Park. So I lived there for most of 23 years. So all the time I used to train for Afghan.
Are you a South London boy?
No, no, I'm an Essex boy, but this is where I ended
Essex
up.
Essex boy. Why did you end up in South London?
My first wife.
Oh, right. Well, you started off in Essex.
Yeah.
How many in your family?
Brother.
Yeah.
Who is an award-winning documentary maker.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So going that people say, oh, it's a massive step for you to go into documentary making. Well, it wasn't really. Most of my friends were journalists. I didn't hang out with actors that much. Mm. I like actors, but it's not the way it's rolled for me. So I either hung out with mates of mine who were in the armed forces, or people I played rugby with, or I did martial arts with, or journalists.
What did your mum and dad do? Did they work?
My father was a police officer in the Met for 30 years and worked his way up from a PC to a detective superintendent. He's still alive, God bless him. Very old now, he's 85 years old. And my mum was a hairdresser.
Who's the cook at home?
Mum, 100%. But food has always played a really important part in my family. And my dad obviously did long hours and wasn't around very much, but when he was on a Saturday night, there was a collection magazine called Supercook. And like in those days, in the 70s, these kind of binders where you put together
you get recipes. One a week, didn't
one a
you?
Week, and it was a good way of
and then
making
you got a little ring binder with the picture on the front,
You see, But there were recipes from all around the world, and my mum, God bless her, would try and cook these meals. And that was very different from what most kids in the close in Essex that I played with every day were getting on a Saturday night, you know? So, you know, we were experiencing paellas and, you know, baked Alaskas and, you know, garlic chicken. I'd be putting garlic on chicken in the 1970s. And, you know, we'd have more wine than just Black Tower and Blue Nun, which were the drink of the day in those days. So having a special meal on a Saturday and us all getting together is really important. It's something that my wife...
Do you still do it now?
My wife and I encouraged, even though annoying it can be with my children occasionally, particularly after I cook the roast generally, the chicken or whatever it may be. And I'm very proud of my gravy. I'm not very good at all things, particularly I'm not a great baker. But I'm not a baker at all, but I can make pretty good stock. Gravy.
So what's like your secret?
Your chicken soup.
What's your secret?
Use natural ingredients and use vegetables as well. I mean, so if I'm going to cook a chicken, and then people would like this, but I will put stock in with it, chop an onion up, chop carrots up, go and get some whatever herbs. I'm not exactly, it's not a precise science, it's just practice over the years. Good seasoning, some natural stock, glass of wine, and let the juices of the chicken mix with that, and then like just before the sometime before like 20 minutes before I'm going to pull the chicken out and let it stand, I'll lift the chicken out, make sure all the juices generally pour up my arm, burn me, and then get the chicken out. If it's cooked, I'll leave it to stand, but then I'll take all those juices out and I'll mix it together and slowly thicken them.
So you've kind of almost made your gravy almost whilst you've been cooking your chicken. That's a nice little cheese.
Potatoes, yeah. The greatest thing is to shake them in a sieve to get them to break up so they crisp up, and use duck fat, goose fat, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't use lard. But also, the thing about, you know, people eating processed food, I think is one of the biggest issues that we have, that we're faced with in the West. You know, like some of the poverty that I've seen in the United States of America is staggering. Mm. People have this kind of romantic image that everybody lives on the East Coast and the West Coast. They don't. The majority of them live in the middle or in the South, where, you know, a 2-litre bottle of fizzy drink is cheaper than a bottle of water. Mm. You know, everybody thinks that everyone in America's got perfect white teeth. I can assure you that couldn't be further from the truth. Most of them have black teeth by the age of, you know, teeth that have gone rotten. I've gone brown, whatever it is, by from often a very early age, and lose teeth.
Do you watch what your kids eat then, like with with
more
processed...
so my wife's a sugar Nazi, so my right. kids, I think if they touched some of the stuff that I ate when I was a yeah. kid, they'd be stuck to the ceiling. You know, literally, I mean, the ing numbers that I must have consumed when I was a kid just must have been frightening.
So
there was a Corona
kid,
man. Do you know what this is? A Corona man would
yeah,
come
we out. Used to have the pot man. He used yeah. to bring Corona. He used to deliver like you had milk delivered. Once a week you had pop delivered.
He'd come around with a
yeah,
fizzy drink.
With a fizzy drink. So we used to have...
Oh your face.
No.
Did yeah. you not know that?
No.
We used to have it delivered. It was the best day of the week. And I think they delivered it on a Thursday in our where we lived, and we had it on Friday. So we had dandelion and burdock and grapefruit crush, my mum used to
grapefruit
buy.
Grapefruit crush, because imagine there was no grapefruit in that.
Why have we never
did
discussed
you not know
Agent
about
Orange?
The
there was orange
man.
Aid, right, yeah. literally glowed.
Yeah,
in the dark.
Yeah, it was neon.
Yeah.
So what was a memorable dish from your childhood? I mean, it sounds like the Saturday night's very varied, but is there one dish that your mum made?
So, coq au vin. I wow. still love to this day. I love coq au vin. I always have. My mum does it, or used to do it. She's too old really now to do it. And I used, this is going to sound so, you know, this is like a semi-detached in Essex. We're not talking in a close, yeah. right?
In a close.
In a close. Or
was
a coup de sec.
Was that elevated to live in a close?
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
You live on the
so
main road.
You live on
I
a road.
I went back there. I was writing the book and I went back there. You know, I was 10 when we left there and we moved further out in Essex because my dad had got promotion in the police.
Where did you move to? Loughton?
Shenfield, which is just outside of Brentwood, before Towie ever happened.
Yeah.
So I ended up playing rugby for Brentwood and went on to play for County and... etc. and stuff like that.
Should we eat?
Yeah. I'm going to just put the microwave on to make the sweet potato.
Okay, fine.
So I'm telling you what, we're having Moroccan meatballs with harissa sauce and
right.
some sweet potato and some cavolo nero.
I've just come back from Morocco.
Have you been having
oh,
a
good.
Lot of harissa and have you been having
not
lots
really.
Of tagine?
Yeah, tagine. Tagine.
Yes. Did you eat well?
Yeah, Casablanca is very different to Marrakesh.
Yeah.
It's not what I... So, you know,
it's a
Humphrey
city,
Bogart
isn't it? Yeah.
has a lot to answer
yeah.
for.
I know. You think it's going to be exotic. Marrakesh
or Laura McCall.
Marrakesh is exotic. This is the capital of Morocco, and it's
yeah.
not gorgeous.
We do need to ask about a bit about food, Ross,
that's,
because,
okay,
you know...
definitely. So,
you know that you will be asked your Last Supper, so it'll be a... starter, main and pud and drink of choice. I think I know the drink of choice.
yeah.
But just let that mull over in your head whilst we talk.
Yeah, I've met people who've had to make that choice. What would they like they like to eat before they died? Most of them didn't get what they ordered.
tell us
well,
more.
Well, like, I've never done programs about death row, but I've met people in certain countries who were probably facing death the next day and whatever they wanted to eat. And also, sort of, one of the things I was really... proud of when I was going back and forth from Afghanistan that I was asked to go to the House of Commons and fair play to them for asking me to do so because a lot of your basic squaddies were too scared to complain about the food that they were first given when we went out to Afghanistan, but they were meals ready to MREs made for a Cold War that they thought was coming, which may still be coming.
What does MRE mean?
Meals ready to eat, MRE.
Okay, sorry.
And so you open them up, you put them in boiling water, and then you open them up and you eat them. But it was so hot in Afghanistan, I would lift up the pouch between my ceramic plate and drop, my favourite one was chicken tikka, and complete with rice inside it. And literally, by the time I'd finished the day, and we were in a compound where we thought we were safe, I would open that up, literally open that bag up, and it was steaming. You literally cooked. You cooked yourself. It was 44 degree heat, and you carry... I'm not carrying a weapon system. I was just carrying camera batteries, water, and body armour. It was a real wake-up call for me, going out to Africa.
Darling,
so what do I do
have
now?
More.
No, that's perfect.
That's a little... It's a bit on the small side, to
what
be honest.
To say?
Give him another ball, Mum.
Smells. Give him another ball. Here we go. I need more balls.
Yeah. This is great.
It's also very, very healthy.
Do you want some more sauce? There's loads of
no, I'm
sauce.
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'll have a bit of sauce, of course you will.
Yeah.
He doesn't have gravy. Wow. Aren't I lucky?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, this is stunning.
Is it? This is really nice, Mum.
Good.
Delish. Yeah, it is wonderful.
You've eaten all around the world. You've been everywhere. You've been in very unique situations.
I've told you a story about the chicken, haven't I, and the gang members.
No, please.
I got engaged by mistake to a gang member's sister in El Salvador.
What do you mean by mistake?
I gave her a reciprocal teddy bear on a key ring. He made me, before I left, buy everybody in the little psychopaths of Delgado in El Salvador, a big barbecue, and my chicken arrived, and literally I put my plastic fork into what I could get into the chicken, and it was just covered in blood. It hadn't been, and he made me eat two mouthfuls of it at gunpoint before he let me go, and I was
saying, why did he do that?
Because you weren't going to marry his sister.
Oh, for God's sake, did you get
salmonella?
Well,
there was another reason for that. I was engaged to be married to somebody else. Also, she was about 14. And also, I didn't really fancy having Chicho as my brother-in-law.
Oh.
Or spending the rest of my life with a little psychopath of Delgado.
Did you get ill?
I was so ill. I woke up, my AP, who went on to be one of my directors, Marta Shaw, one of the bravest women I've ever met in my life. I went to Syria with her, to Libya with her. She gave me Pepto-Bismol, which I didn't even know probably what it was in those days.
It's
an anti-acid.
Yeah.
It's like Gaviscon for food poisoning. Yeah. No, I promptly threw up. I went off like a Roman candle at both ends and woke up with my face stuck to the tile flooring of the Hilton in El Salvador or San Salvador City. Anyway, on a more cheerful note.
Yeah. At least you're alive.
That's an amazing story there, Russ. How does that rate in your top 10 does it even make the top 10?
No, it's not. It's food poisoning. I've had lots of different...
No, I'm not talking about the food poisoning. I'm talking about the gun to your head in the... that bit was the bit.
Had a lot of guns pulled on me.
Who insures you?
I don't really got insurance. I took over production.
You're like bloody Bruce Willis, Die Hard.
No, I'm not. I'm so not.
How can you go away without insurance in case anything happens to you?
Because you leave enough money in other places to cover
it. Okay, fine.
I mean, there was insurance. I mean, but, you know, most of these companies aren't going to pay out. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's a fact. Don't waste your money.
So, you've been around the world, you've eaten. Mm. Apart from the gun to your head chicken surprise.
Well, that was gun on the table.
I mean, we were going to make you marry me chicken. That would have been kind of perfect for today.
I'd have eaten it. This is, honestly, can I just say?
It's really nice.
Thank you.
Super.
Good.
Let's go on to your last supper,
okay.
Ross Kemp.
Yep.
Starter, where are we going?
Oh, it's so difficult.
Do you want some more sweet potato?
No, thank you. That's more than enough. Oops. As a starter, so I can have a starter from anywhere or anything.
Yeah.
I'd probably go sort of some kind of sashimi.
Oh.
Or this is going to sound so Essex. Which I have in Scots is a proper prawn cocktail.
What's the Scots one like?
Brilliant. It's not. I don't want the prawns to be too big and overly puffy. I want them to be small and sweet. They do a pint of prawns, which I absolutely love. I'll have that. I can pick my way through those. Makes your fingers a bit smelly, but who cares?
Do you like your prawns shelled?
Yes.
Me too.
I
hate that, having to shell them.
Oh, no, I like them.
With you like them with the shell on?
They're a little bit...
It makes me work a bit harder and makes me not guzzle it down as quickly.
Your fingers, darling.
That's okay. Okay, so that's your starter.
I'm sorry, but I would also like a cheese souffle as a starter.
Oh, I love that. I nearly made that today.
Yeah.
Jessie pulled her face. I was going to do a smoked salmon cheese souffle.
Oh, you see, I know that stuff.
You see? And you said,
I thought that was quite.
Excuse me, you put vomit emoji on when I suggested it.
Well, I think it was a bit hit and miss. I thought maybe it would be like
a smoked salmon souffle.
Some people don't like smoked salmon.
Well, I would.
We do in my house, some.
Yeah. Okay.
And I know the first time I had it was when I went to buy the leather jacket for Grant Mitchell, and we went to Harvey Nicks. And I went downstairs with Peter Holston, who was the costume designer, and this must have been 1989, December, early December, and he said, what are you going to have for lunch? And I was like, I don't eat in places like this. I've never been to a place like this. I've just bought a Hugo Boss leather jacket for a character I'm going to play in one of the biggest...
That's amazing.
Did they give you an allowance?
He had the allowance.
I mean, you did wear that... leather jacket to death,
yeah,
to be
I mean,
fair.
Good, you've got
their
wear
they got their wear out.
Have you still got it?
I've got one of them, funnily enough. I couldn't let it go. It sits in the
Who
wardrobe.
Who were you married to in EastEnders?
A few people?
Yeah, quite a few.
Tiffany?
Sharon? I never watched
Tiffany and
it,
Sharon, mainly.
Oh, Sharon.
So back to Harvey Nicks. So you ordered your smoked salmon and
and I had smoked salmon and scrambled eggs for the first time. I know that I was 25 because that's the year I was 25 when I joined EastEnders. And like I remember not long after that, I went to my first proper Chinese restaurant and had Peking duck for the first time, and my kids expect Peking duck
with pancakes.
With pancakes, yeah,
yeah,
plum
love
sauce,
that.
You know, or hoisin sauce.
So, what are we doing for the main?
I would make my own roast chicken.
Yeah, roast dinner.
Roast dinner. Sorry, my
That's
own one.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, because
I think you are the only first person to make your own Last Supper main. Just saying that. I don't know what that says about you. I'm going to digest that.
That's a bit of a control freaky thing.
No.
I mean, I said that as soon as you came in. Yeah. And you spied that. That bread and butter.
Do you start with a cocktail?
When I'm making, I drink red Pinot Noir.
I've got it right today.
Got it so right. That was superb. Thank you.
What are some of the table manners or differences in culture around eating you've discovered in all your travels?
Well, hand eating is always a difficult one.
For you?
No, I can eat with my hands. It's just like, you know, you're always worried about D&V.
Okay. You love an abbreviation, Ross.
I'm sorry, an acronym's a me.
Diarrhea and vomit, that means.
If you do get D&V and you're away from home and you're in a war zone, trust me, it's one of the loneliest things that can ever happen to
Has
you.
Has it happened a lot?
There's no mama to come and give you anything.
Your producer giving you Pepto-Bismol?
Often, when I was out in Afghan, it was just me and a cameraman, and he went down worse with it than me often. You know, there is nothing worse.
How many times have you had
DMV? Really badly. In Madagascar, in Afghanistan twice, in Africa once, in South America three or four times. And also, but I've had some of the most amazing meals. I can remember being the Warani tribe, who are in the middle of the Ecuadorian rainforest, cooked us, and you're going, I'm going to get ill, but I have to eat this. Mm-hmm. It was a chicken stew, and I thought, God, there's got to be something. It's one of the best chicken stews I've ever had.
What was in it that kind of, what was memorable?
It must have been local produce, local things from the Amazon. You know, there are undiscovered plants in the rainforest. They pretty sure could cure most cancers, right? And the average, I think, is 100 square meters of the rainforest, there are more different species of plants and trees than there are in the whole of the Northern Hemisphere.
Wow.
And we're destroying it at a rate that is just phenomenal. I went there to show how the making of cocaine was destroying it by how much paraffin gets poured in the residue of making the coca paste does. But the amount of mercury that's in the water table there because of the thirst for gold. Whatever, and I say man, but I mean humankind, but it's generally men. Wherever humankind go, particularly into environments like that, they put a road. And as soon as they put a road, everybody goes there. And everybody's out for their 40 years, 50 years, 60 years on this planet to enjoy themselves as much as they possibly can, or do something which they believe is going to bring them, in quotes, happiness.
Mum, this looks great.
Wow, it looks...
You're going to have a slice.
Jeez.
Pudding, where are we going to go for your Last Supper? Because I'm not sure you enjoy them too much these days, too many these days.
No. I've lost the... The Love.
The Love.
Yeah, that's not for me, because I can't have... Okay. That's way too...
I've never seen Ross Kemp look so terrified. The slice that Mum just offered him.
See, well, don't, do you know what? Shit, again,
I,
it goes back...
I was
back...
supposed to have a half one, Mum.
Also,
shut up.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, this
You've
is about the waste
one.
Thing, because this is the way that I was brought up. You had to clear your plate, and even sometimes it was things. There's one thing that, you know, I eat nearly everything. I'm not a fan of pesto, but, you know, I've eaten lime sea slugs in different parts of the world.
Porcupine for breakfast?
I shot and killed squirrels, sadly. I had to when I was living on my own in Alaska.
Why? Because there was nothing else to eat.
I had to survive on my own. That was part and parcel of it. I'll eat my meat. Bit of my meatball residues in there.
Oh God! Do you want to clean one, darling?
I don't want to use that. Ever use that shot? Matt, this food is just. I'll have a bit more. I'm gonna have a bit more because that looks really.
That looks pishy.
It looks rubbish.
Yeah, it does.
So, but sweet. Going back to sweets, if I had to have a last sweet, and that's answering your question.
Yes.
Because of the memory of my mum. And her being the only one that could do it. Because I asked for it. I saw it in the cookbook and said, can you make this? And she managed to make Baked Alaska in Essex in the 70s, which I don't think many kids were getting.
I
love Baked Alaska.
That's so sweet. That's such a lovely memory.
What do you think, Jesse?
This is really nice, Mum.
This is stunning.
Is it?
Mm.
It's really good.
Never made it before.
You never made that before?
No.
It's beautiful.
But it looks nice, doesn't it?
Where do you get the cherries from?
They're frozen.
Lovely.
And I just put star
anise. Cherries are really good for you.
I put star anise in them.
I'll get you.
An orange.
Mmm, that's really good, Mum.
Dad, eating.
Thank you for being on Table Manners. You've been absolutely fascinating and such good fun. And I feel like there must be a part two
in a
couple of years because I just find you absolutely fascinating. Thank you.
I've got to ask one thing. Do you like karaoke?
Not really, but why?
But which song would you
choose?
No,
we're not doing it.
Oh, thank God.
Which song would you choose?
I always think, I've got like, you know, because you learn. So, L is for the way I look at
you. You're a crooner.
You.
Okay,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
a crooner.
Yeah, a bit of a crooner, because it's the way out. You can
vibrate
your way
through.
You've got a tenor voice.
Yeah.
It's a bassy tenor.
Jesse, you sounded like Michael Bublé when he said you could sing.
Have you had an album before, Ross?
No, God, no. But I'm coming up to 60 and I'm thinking about doing some music for my 60th, but I don't know what I'm going to do. It was all very musical. Webber Douglas specialised in musicals, so I really came out of drama school thinking that I was going to go into musical comedy. How right was I?
Wow. Yeah, you really went a different path.
And I think that's partly to do with the way that I looked, but that was the what I thought was I was going to do.
There's always time, Ross, and I feel like you do anything that you set your mind to. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll wait for the big band album for your 60th.
Yeah, I think you should. Duet with Kylie.
My wife would be happy. As an Australian.
Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
And we can't wait to watch you on the box for many, many, many more years.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what? It's an honour to be at the table with you guys.
Aww. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks. I loved Ross Kemp.
Oh, wow.
I loved his stories. I love the stories that the questions he never answered, but would give you another good story. So I kind of forgive him for it. He was so lovely.
He was very complimentary. I was slightly shocked.
Mum, your food was excellent.
It was nice today.
Ross Kemp ate everything, cleared the plate.
Loved it.
Loved it. A man of many words and stories.
Yeah.
And just really nice guy.
But we've never had someone that's cooking their own Last Supper. He likes to be in control,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, I saw that as soon as he...
Yeah, he opened the bottle, took
he
the
He looked
corkscrew.
At you and thought, no, yeah. let me handle this.
Wrestled the corkscrew away.
Yeah, yeah. Must be all that time in the pub.
At the Old Vic.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Ross Kemp for being such a great guest. I would have him on again and again. I'm telling you, he's coming on the Christmas special. I don't care. He may have to call him from Afghanistan or Casablanca. He's doing it. I don't care. I loved him.
Me too.
Thank you everyone for listening and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.